Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Now it says some other things that we preached about in the prior broadcast. It also says, "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." But we want to talk about the first part of this verse today, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." You know what we find among Christians? We find among Christians that the ones who grow the strongest and the ones who are the most spiritual are the ones who delight themselves in the Lord. Now, to delight in something or to delight in someone is to take great satisfaction or pleasure in it or him or her. So if you delight in someone, you take great satisfaction or pleasure in that person. Now, you have to understand, there are some children who love their parents because of what their parents give them. So their delight is not in their parents. Their delight is in the things that they receive from their parents. So you have to be careful when we talk about delighting in the Lord. A lot of people delight in the blessings, but they don't delight in the blessor. So delighting in the Lord is to take great satisfaction and pleasure in Him. So when you take great satisfaction and pleasure in the Lord, you delight in the Lord. Now the trouble today is that Christians delight in everything but the Lord. So we're going to talk today about some things of the Lord that you should delight in. And the first thing is we should delight in the Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Let's look at this passage and notice what Paul says about the Lord's mercy. 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now watch. "Howbeit for this cause," watch it, "I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul says, you know what? The reason I'm here today, after all the things that I did, you know what he did? He was a blasphemer, in verse 13, a persecutor, and injurious. But in verse 13 he says, "But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And you know something? Paul is a great testimony of the mercy of God. Have you ever fully considered the Lord's mercy on our behalf, or even more importantly, on your behalf? Have you ever considered that? I mean, where did you come from? Now, if you grew up in church and you've lived like a choir boy all of your life, and now you've gotten saved and you're just continuing to go on and live for Jesus Christ, you may not have a real good estimation in your own life of the Lord's mercy. But I'm going to tell you, we didn't all grow up like that. We might have gotten off to the same start you did, but unfortunately we took a detour along the way, and none of us is proud of that. None of us even likes to mention that. But the truth of the matter is, when we got turned around and got with the Lord, boy, you talk about enjoying and loving the Lord's mercy. You know, He has forgiven us a great deal. You remember when Simon the Pharisee entertained the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the lady came and anointed His feet and kissed His feet, and and washed his feet with her tears and wiped the tears with her hair. The Lord used that, and he said, I need to teach you something, Simon. And the thing I need to show you is that when I came here, you didn't wash my feet. She did, with her tears. You didn't anoint me. She did. And he said, I want you to understand something. When a person has been forgiven much, they love much. Okay? And when we consider the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, what he did for us to be able to do what we're doing today, it is unimaginable. It is incomprehensible. It is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I mean, have you considered his mercy in your life? Listen, since you've been saved. I mean, really, have you been that perfect that you have not ever needed the Lord's mercy since you've been saved? I wish I could say that in my own life, but it's not so. We yield to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and we find victory over our sin, but there are just things that come up, and the Lord's right there with his mercy. When we sin, he is always ready to forgive. Listen, you should delight in the Lord's mercy. His mercy is inexhaustible. But that's not all. When we talk about delighting thyself in the Lord, you should delight in the Lord's grace. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verses 14 and 15. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what he's talking about in verse 14? His grace. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This was a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now, he could have said, I was chief, but he didn't. And I believe what happened is that Paul became so overwhelmed with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul became so close to the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that like Job in the presence of the Lord, Paul realized that he was vile, a great sinner. And yet, I'm telling you what, it magnified the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Imagine the abundance of the grace of God in your salvation. And you know something? That grace that saved you is the same grace by which we live. In other words, you know how much grace it took to bring you out of the devil's family and into the Lord's family. And that abundance of grace is available to you every single day. When you drive your automobile, it runs out of gas. You have to refill it. Not with the grace of God. It never runs out. And it is always a full tank. His grace is sufficient, and it supplies the need for our every weakness. Paul learned that because of the thorn in his flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul realized something, that when I am weak, then I am strong. And so he took pleasure in his infirmities and distresses and necessities and persecutions, in reproaches. Why? Because the grace of God magnified the strength of God at the time of his very weakness. And that's what the grace of God does. He says, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We should delight in the Lord's grace. Now, grace, you can't take that to the grocery store and spend it. You can't drive it around on the lake on Saturdays. The Lord's mercy, it's not tangible. You can't eat it. You find it in a nice restaurant late in the evening. These are spiritual things. And they are delightful things. And when you are overwhelmed by your activities at the lake and your money in the bank and your fine dining during the evening and all that other stuff, you know what is overshadowed? The mercy and grace of the Lord. It's as if they really don't mean much. Okay, I'm saved now. That's the way a lot of Christians look at it. Okay, I'm saved now. Thank you. Thank you for the grace of God. I'm saved. As if that's all the grace of God was ever meant to do. okay, thank you for your mercy. You forgave me my sins. And they bow their head over this nice steak and they say, and Lord, please bless this food. May it nourish our bodies and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. And that's as much as the mercy of God that they ever considered for the rest of the day. Come on now. The Lord's mercy and the Lord's grace are far greater than all those tangible things, but you don't delight in them. Listen, we should delight not only in His mercy and grace, we ought to delight in the Lord's presence. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is very, very clear on this. The Lord is always with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is very, very wonderful verse of Scripture. The more I read it, the more I study it, the more I think about it, the more I quote it, the more I love it. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you have the Lord. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't make any difference if you only have one shirt in your closet and one pair of slacks or one dress, one pair of shoes, and all you can afford to eat for lunch is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Makes no difference. Why? It's not about the raiment. It's not about the food. It's about Him. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You and I have continual fellowship with the Lord every day. There are so many people today that are worried because they don't have a friend or as many friends as they wish they did, and they're not as popular as they wish they were. Listen, you are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus Christ is always there for you. And the beauty of His fellowship is something that is tangible in certain circumstances. The beauty of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ is often tangible in Bible reading. Oh, there are times when I get into that Bible, I know there must have been in your life, or I hope should have been in your life, times when you're reading that Bible and it is just like, well, it is, you and God sitting down having a conversation together. Because when the Holy Spirit gives you that book by inspiration, He is talking to you. The beauty of His fellowship is often tangible in prayer. I mean, haven't you ever had those times where you're praying and, I mean, you just know the Lord is there. I mean, it is not like the prayers are bouncing off the wall. I remember we were having prayer meeting, my associate and I, and we were talking, and it really and truly, he and I were the only ones in the room praying, but it was just as if there were three of us, just like the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. Often our youth pastor is here, and we're all three praying together. And it is, I'm telling you, there are times when the presence of the Lord is known, and I mean, you just know there is a fourth person in the room, and you're having fellowship with Him, and it's tangible. I mean, the beauty of His fellowship is often tangible and known in preaching and teaching services. There are times when I have been sitting and listening to a preacher preach, and even listening to a teacher teach out of the words of God, and I am telling you, it is just like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is standing in that pulpit and preaching and teaching. Or sometimes just like the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting next to me with His finger on the page saying, you see that right there? It's just as He says. Now, you understand. I don't look over there and I see, you know, Jesus, or see Him up there in the pulpit. I'm not talking about some crazy-matic experience. I'm talking about the fellowship of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just know He's there. I'll tell you, one of the times it's very, very evident, the fellowship is often of the Lord is often tangibly known in singing. We were at the nursing home the other day, and we were singing hymns, and after I'd preached, we went back to singing some more hymns. And I mean, as the pianist played, and as I sang, and as those folks sang with me, there was a change in the spirit of that meeting. And you know something? It was just like the old-timers used to say, the Lord showed up. My eyes teared up. Nothing didn't leak out of my eyes and come down onto my cheeks. I don't mean that, but I said, man, I was so happy to be there and so happy to be in the Lord's presence. Listen, the Lord's fellowship is often tangibly known in conscious meditation upon Him. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you actually begin to think about, He is here. He is in me. He is, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. And I am in Him. And you begin to meditate upon that. I'm telling you, there is a lifting in your spirit because you are His and He is yours. We should delight in the Lord's presence. But that's not all. We should delight in the Lord's goodness. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14. The Lord's goodness is also very, very tangible. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 14. The Bible says, I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. Now he's talking about a promise to Israel, but listen to this. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Ooh, I love that. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. You know, the very nature of the Lord is that He is good. There's nothing that is better than He is. There is no one that is better than He is. And you can trust His goodness because that is who He is. He's good. In other words, oftentimes when we think about the Lord, we think about, oh, He's going to chasten me. We think about the Lord, oh, He's going to cause me to suffer so that I can grow. He's going to do those things. But may I tell you something? Oh, the Lord is good. Think about that. The Lord is so good. Think about that. He is good to me. You know, I was talking to a fellow who's a friend of mine that's up in the hospital in San Antonio right now. And he just had back surgery, and it was major, and it was difficult, and it had all the bad possibilities, and it was a success. He's lying there in bed, and he said, Brother, I want you to know God is good, and God is good all the time. Now, you've heard that before, but this is coming from somebody who is experiencing the goodness of God while we're having a conversation. He is not repeating a cliche. He is experiencing the goodness of God. A friend of mine who was incarcerated said to me, I never knew that the Lord was all I needed until the Lord was all that I had. You know what? You know, all his stuff, all of his, even his dignity was stripped away from him. He's thinking, man, I'm hopeless. What am I going to do with this? And the Lord showed up in His goodness, and that fellow said, you know something? That's all I need. Right there. We should delight in the Lord's goodness. Has He not been good to you? I mean, exceptionally good to you? He has. And you know something else we ought to delight in? We ought to delight in the Lord's peace. The Lord's peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what the big deal is with Christians today? They're afraid. They're afraid of the economy. They're afraid of starving to death when the economy, you know, busts. They're afraid of electricity turning off and then not having enough cool air or heat in their homes. They're afraid of the government. They're afraid of their health. They're afraid of a lot of things. And you know what the Lord said? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what's missing? His peace. And He said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You have the Lord's peace. And the Lord's peace is a peace that passeth all understanding. And you know where it's found? It's found in prayer. It's found in the kind of prayer that leaves all the care with the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that, I'm telling you, is a promise. It is a wonderful promise. The Lord's peace passes all understanding. It's found in prayer, and it leaves you without care. Have you not experienced that lately? Are you not living with that kind of peace? Listen, when you have that kind of peace that passeth all understanding, keeping your heart and mind, let me tell you something. You can delight in that peace more than you can delight in $1 million in the bank, because you won't have peace with $1 million in the bank. You'll be worried what's going to happen to the market, or whether or not the FDIC is insuring that bank sufficiently to be able to recover it if the bank goes belly up. But boy, when you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, money can't buy that. The Lord's peace is found when our minds are stayed on Him. That's what Isaiah 26:3 says. And listen carefully. Absorb this. The Lord will keep him, or thou will keep him, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Well, your mind is not stayed on the Lord. You're thinking about what you did at work, what you're going to be doing at work, where you're going. You're thinking about the traffic. You're thinking about what you're going to have for supper. Your mind is consumed with a lot of things, but rarely consumed these days with the Lord. Thou wilt keep it in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And boy, when you get a dose of the peace that passeth all understanding, you don't want anything else. But that's not all. We should also delight in the Lord's provision. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Everything you need, he will supply. He said he would. And listen, how could you not delight in him when you're never without everything you need? You know, men have learned to depend on their bank accounts. They've learned to depend on their credit cards. And they've forgotten that everything is the Lord's. And when you delight in him rather than in your possessions, you're richer than you could ever be if you had all the money in the world. What did he say? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You're saved. You have eternal life. I mean, what provision of God could be better than that? Honestly. And you say, well, that's nice. I've got eternal life. That's for down the road. No, it's not. It's a current possession. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have you learned to live? That's where the problem is. You have eternal life, and it's your current possession. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen. You should get up in the morning, like the old timers used to do. Put your prayer request before the Lord and look to him for his provisions, and then let him make those provisions and glory in those provisions. And glory in the goodness of God and delight in him. Why? Well, some days he's not going to give you as much as you think you need. He's going to give you a lot less than you need. Why? Because you need contentment, and you need to learn how to be content when you don't have anything, just like Paul was in Philippians chapter 4. And when you learn that level of contentment, you have matured, and then when he gives you something, you will really appreciate it. So we've seen so far, you should delight in the Lord's mercy, his grace, his presence, his goodness, his peace, his provisions, and then this. We should delight in the Lord's promises. John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wow. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know what you have? You have eternal security. And eternal security is one of the greatest promises known to man. Now, I know there are a lot of religious charlatans that have tried to talk you out of eternal security, tell you got to work for your salvation once you get saved, and all that kind of stuff. That's not Bible, that's man. You'll say, well, they can show me the verses. I know they can show you the verses. I know where the verses are maybe better than they do, and I'm not trying to boast. What I'm trying to tell you is I've studied all those. I've read them in their context, and I can smell self-righteousness from a mile away. And when a man tells you you can lose your salvation, you got to do this and that to keep it, he's talking about you being self-righteous. That's Adam. That's not Jesus Christ. That's the old man, not the new man. When you get the new man understands eternal security completely. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm going to tell you something. You've got it. When you have Jesus Christ, you are secure. And then, you know what, on top of that, there's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love him? Of course you do. Are you called according to his purpose? You better be. Now, if you don't love him, love him. If you're not called according to his purpose, get in his purpose. You say, what should I do there? Oh, it's very simple. What you should do there is this. You ought to believe that verse of Scripture. That's what you ought to do. Listen, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That means even when you go through bad things in your life, even when you have legal trials, medical trials, children trials, marital trials, job trials, God's right in the middle of all that stuff. And rather than sit there and bow up and try to figure out how you're going to handle all that stuff, back off and find out where God is in it. What is He trying to show you? What is He doing? And look for that thing when mixed with all the other things in your life is going to bring about that good He promised in Romans 8:28. And I promise that's the Lord's promise. I'm not promising you. He promised you that good thing that you would hope to find is there. That's right. The ingredient may be as bad as Crisco, but the result is going to be good as hot biscuits. You understand? And then there's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then there's John 14:13-14. You know what those say? Very simple. It's a promise to prayer, answer prayer. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know what you are doing? You are missing out big time these days if you delight in pleasures and in possessions rather than in the Lord. Listen, delight in the Lord, and not only will you be more satisfied now, you're going to be more satisfied in eternity as well. Delight in the Lord's mercy, His grace, His presence, His goodness, His peace, His provisions, and His promises. And I promise you, you will be satisfied. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.